And this past Wednesday night, we looked at verse number 10 in Philippians chapter number 3. And the Apostle Paul, he said, that I may know Him. The Apostle Paul had a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think about that word know, it carries the idea of knowledge. We know that, but it carries the idea of having a desire to learn. And we said Wednesday night that anything that we desire to learn, it takes time. That really is the element. It's time. It's time studying. It's time observing. It's time experiencing. It's time living. It's time. It's time communing with the one that we want to know or the subject matter that we want to know. Philippians chapter number 3. Let me say this before we get into, we're going to read here in just a moment. Let me encourage you. We got a new track out in the lobby there. Very simple. It just says, you're invited. Be our guest at Maranatha Baptist Church. And on the back, it has the gospel, just like all the tracks do. Just want to encourage you to grab some of those. These are easy to give out. It's not hard. You're invited. Just want to give you an invitation to come to our church. And they want to encourage you to grab some of our Master Club cards. And if you know kids that they don't have a church on Wednesday night, and they would be helped by Master Club if you would give them an invitation. If you know kids that need a ride, we'd sure love to pick them up. And so I want to encourage you with that as well. Philippians chapter number 3, let's do this. Let's go ahead and allow our children to be dismissed this morning to junior church. All those fourth grade and under, y'all can go ahead. I want to back up just a little bit before I have you standing before we read. I want to back up to the beginning of the chapter because we want to get the entire context of what we're talking about here. And at the beginning of Philippians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul, he says, finally. Now, again, he's referring back to what he's spoken of in Philippians chapter number 2, and he has spoken of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ, the one who became obedient unto death, verse number 8 says, even the death of the cross. And then in chapter number 3, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And the concision there were those who were teaching that circumcision, the outward act of circumcision, was a part or was required for salvation. It wasn't just faith in Christ. Yeah, that's good and that's part of it. But they said, no, you have to have that ritual, that Jewish tradition, that Jewish token, if you will, of outward circumcision. And Paul said, beware of those who preach that. Beware of those who teach that because of verse number 3. Notice what he says in verse number 3. For we are the circumcision, notice this, which worship God in the what? In the Spirit. And rejoice in who? And have no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes on, beginning in verse number 4, he goes on and he gives a resume of his flesh. He said, if anybody could trust in the flesh, it would be me. Because I have a resume in the flesh. But this is what he said, but I don't trust in my flesh. He said, I don't trust, even as good as my flesh is, Paul says, as good as my station in life, I was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, I was a Pharisee. Man, I was zealous for God. But he said, that doesn't matter. It's all about Christ. Our confidence is not in the flesh. And in verse number 9, he says, this is one of the things he desired, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. It's not my own righteousness. It's not my own good works. Now, if you've been here any length of time, you understand the Bible teaches that we ought to live right. Right? The Bible teaches that. But the Bible doesn't teach that I live right in order to get to heaven. It teaches that I live right because I'm on my way to heaven. Because Christ has saved me. And because of what Christ has done for me, I live right. I don't live right in order to get saved. I live right because I'm already saved. The Bible is very clear about that. And the Apostle Paul says, look, I don't trust in my own righteousness. I trust in the righteousness of Christ. And then in verse number 10, we saw this Wednesday night. He says, that I may know Him. And we can say amen to a beautiful song, and he is amazing, and his hand is mighty. By the way, it is almighty. Is it not? But it's more than just a song. It's a life. Paul says, I want to know him. I don't want to just know about him. We have a lot of Christians who fill pews every single Sunday. They know a lot about him. But they don't know him. And by the way, I'm not talking about they're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that after salvation, salvation was enough. And that's where it all stopped. And they have never grown. They have never matured. They have never gotten to know the one who gave everything for them. And the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him. What did he want to know about him? He wanted to know the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, dear friend, this morning, I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on anybody this morning, but I'm just saying this is Bible, this is truth. Listen, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to endure sufferings. It's just going to happen. Because you're going to fellowship with his sufferings, in his sufferings. I mentioned this Wednesday night. We've gotten this idea in our churches today. Well, you know, if we just love everybody the way Christ loved them, then they're just going to love us. Is there anybody greater, or is there anyone who loved greater than Christ loved? There's no one who loved greater than Christ loved. And demonstrated his love the way Christ demonstrated his love. But they killed him. Because they didn't like him. They didn't like who he was. They didn't like what he preached. They didn't like that he called himself God. And they killed him. And so we have this idea, well, if I just love the way Christ loved, then everybody's going to flock to me. No, they're not. You're going to fellowship in his sufferings. And then he said, and being made conformable unto his death. You know what Paul said? He said, I want to die to self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith. He said, I live by faith. Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. He said, I want to be made conformable unto his death. Here's what that means. Whatever the will of the Father is, I'm submitted to it. He's in that Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, and he is praying, and he is sweating great drops of blood, and he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I do not believe that Christ was afraid to die whatsoever, but I do believe this, Christ knew that the sin of all of mankind was getting ready to be placed upon him. Perfect, holy, righteous God. And the sin of all the world is getting ready to be placed upon him. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, we just saw it just a moment ago in verse number 8. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul says, that I may know him. Do you really want to know him? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection? Do you want to know what it means to have power over sin and the temptation of sin? Because many times we give ourselves an excuse, and it's true and it's right, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but we always come back to this. Well, you know, I have the Holy Spirit, but I'm still in the flesh. Yeah, but the flesh doesn't have to reign over you. You have the Holy Spirit. If you know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit abiding inside of you. And we do not, as Romans 6 says, we do not have to be ruled by the flesh. And by sin. And Paul says, I want to be made conformable unto his death. I want to die to self and I want to live to Jesus Christ. Here's the truth this morning. If I'm filled with the Spirit, then I must be empty of self. Otherwise, I can't be filled with the Spirit. See, something has to be empty in order to be filled up, right? Josh and I, this morning, the van was like 30 miles to empty. It needed to be filled up. Why? Because it was empty. I can't be filled with the Spirit until I'm first empty of self. And Paul said, I want to know Him. I want to be made conformable unto His death. And then notice verse number 12. This is our message this morning. This is our message, verses 12 through 14. I want to preach to us this morning on one thing. One thing. You say, Pastor, you only have one point. No, no, that's the title. One thing. Notice what the Bible says. I'm not going to have you stand this morning. Look at verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now, by the way, we were in this passage just about a year ago, so some of what you're going to hear this morning is going to sound a little familiar to you. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Here we go. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, what was the high calling of God? I think it could be many things. I'll use one word this morning, faithfulness. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, I was submitted to God's call upon my life, and I've been faithful to God's call upon my life. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, when Paul's getting ready to depart off the scene, he says, now I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Paul was apprehended for a greater calling than to serve this world. By the way, when we get saved, we have been apprehended for a greater calling. We're not just saved so that we can miss hell. And I'm thankful that we do get to miss hell, aren't you? We're not just saved so that we can miss hell. No, no, we're saved for much more than that. We're apprehended for a higher calling. And that higher calling has many things involved in it and many elements involved in it. But one of the great elements, if not the greatest element, is just simply faithfulness. God says in the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I met a man yesterday, and he was out working on his vehicle, and Josh and I, we stopped and just talked to him for a minute and gave him a track and gave him an invitation, and I asked him about salvation. And just like so many people today, and it burns me, but so many people today are confused about salvation. He says, I try to do good every day. You say, Pastor, is that a bad thing? No, it's not. Because if I went around this morning, probably everyone in here would say, I try to do good every day. But I don't try to do good every day because I believe that's going to save me. You see, I got saved and my sins were washed beneath the blood of Christ when I was 9 years old. And I've been saved ever since. And I try to do right every day, not so that I can work my way and climb that ladder to heaven. No, no, no. I try to do right every day because my Savior deserves it. It's more than just a song. It's a life. My Savior deserves it. If I really believe that He is who He says He is, and that He did what He said He would do, and that He did for us what He said He would do for us, if I really believe that, then He deserves every part of me. He deserves one thing. And the Bible says in verse number 13, actually I didn't finish reading, did I? Verse number 9 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, not of works lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship. We're apprehended, created, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A high calling, whether it be faithfulness, whether it be good works, whether it be, as the Bible says, we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this morning I want to speak to us just very quickly on one thing. One thing. One thing. Our lives are pulled in so many different directions, aren't they? We have so many things. Such a nebulous word, isn't it? Things. By the way, in speech class and in homiletics class, they'll tell you don't use the word thing because it's so nebulous. But Paul says one thing. This one thing I do. And I want us to see that today. Father, help us in these next few moments. Father, I do pray if there would be one here today, or maybe even several. But if there would be an individual here today, a man, woman, a teenager that has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul, Father, I pray that today would be that day. If there would be an individual here today who is trusting in their own righteousness, their own good works, the things that they have done, instead of that what Jesus Christ has already done at the cross of Calvary and at the empty tomb, then Father, today I pray that they would submit themselves to His way, to the way of Christ. Then Father, for us as believers here this morning, Father, may You help us to see. Father, may You give us a desire to know You better. Oh, we know so much about this world. We know about its entertainments. We can quote lines from movies. We can quote stats from our favorite athlete. But what do we know about You? And how much do we truly know You? And so, Father, I pray that You'd help us today. Holy Spirit, please have freedom to move in this place today. Holy Spirit, I pray that every single person would be yielded to You today. Teach us, guide us, help us today. Draw the sinner to the very threshold of salvation. Draw the believer back to You and in a greater fellowship with You this morning. And we'll thank You for what You'll do in these next few moments, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, I want to give you three thoughts here, and we'll be done this morning. But number one, I want us to see this. Paul was following after perfection. Paul was following after perfection. The Bible says in verses 12 and 13, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. That word perfection here is the idea of maturity. It's the idea of completeness. It's not the idea that there will come a time in my life where I never sin anymore. Because yes, I do. Even though we mentioned it just a moment ago. Yes, I do. I live in the flesh. And there are going to be times when I'm not filled with the Spirit and I am filled with self and I am going to give in to temptation. And listen, there are going to be times like that and I am not perfect. But Paul says, look, by the way, after decades of ministry, Paul says, I'm still not perfect. I still haven't apprehended. He said, I'm following after perfection. He says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ apprehended me to be faithful to work. He apprehended me to joy in my ministry. Acts 20, verse number 24. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with what? Joy! So he says, Christ has apprehended me. And so that for which I was apprehended, I want to apprehend the same. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a holy servant. I want to be a consecrated servant. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was following after perfection. The phrase follow after means to pursue. The phrase perfection, we've already mentioned it. It means maturity. It means completeness. Paul was following after perfection. We see several things here. First of all, we see Paul's humble admission. We see Paul's humble admission. He says, not as though. His humble admission, he said, I haven't arrived. If you ever meet a Christian who says, I'm perfect, I've already arrived, mark it down. They just lied to you. None of us will be perfect, and none of us will ever arrive, and none of us will be exactly what we ought to be until we step over that threshold into glory. None of us will, because we do have two natures. We do still live in the flesh, but it's wonderful we have the Spirit now. We see Paul's humble admission, but secondly, we see Paul's hopeful ambition. We see Paul's hopeful ambition. He says that I may apprehend. Apprehend, it means to lay hold of, to comprehend, to find. Paul's hopeful ambition. What's your ambition this morning? Is it to make another dollar tomorrow? That's good, that's good. You can take care of your family. That's right and good. That's biblical. We ought to take care of our families. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. By the way, I had someone this week, we were talking, and he said, have you ever thought about this? You know, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. Have you ever thought about the Christian who never works at getting to know Christ better? He said, have you ever known a person who comes to church and they walk away and they say, well, man, that pastor's just not feeding me. He said, have you ever thought that maybe it's because they're lazy in their spiritual life and God's not feeding them? Because they're lazy. They won't read their Bible. They won't study their Bible. They won't pray. They don't come to church faithfully because it's too hard. Have you ever thought about this? I never thought about that. It's good. A man doesn't work, he ought not eat physically. By the way, that's good right there. Man doesn't work, he ought not eat. An able-bodied man, if we quit feeding him today, maybe he'd go out and get a job. That's Bible. Look it up. It's in Thessalonians. If a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. And if we quit feeding able-bodied men who can work, then maybe they'll go get a job. I saw... I'm going to start meddling, so let's just move on. Paul's humble admission, Paul's hopeful ambition. He said, I want to apprehend. And then thirdly, Paul's hopeful ambition, but thirdly, Paul's holy apprehension. Paul's holy apprehension. Look what he says in verse number 12. He said, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. When we got saved, Christ laid hold upon us and He apprehended us. What did He apprehend us for? For usefulness? For holiness? For faithfulness? He apprehended us. We read it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. We are created. We are His workmanship, created unto what? Unto good works. Hey, hold your place here in Philippians chapter 3 and go with me, if you would, just a few pages to the right. 1 Thessalonians. Would you go there real quickly? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul's humble admission. He said, I haven't apprehended yet. I'm not perfect yet. Not as though I have apprehended. Paul's hopeful ambition, that I may apprehend. That I may lay hold, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His servants, sufferings, and being made conformable to His death. I want to know Him. But then Paul's holy apprehension. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 7. We're missing some of the context, but in verse number 7 he says, for God hath not called us unto what? Unto uncleanness. Now he's already discoursed that in verses 1 through 6, but he says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Unto holiness. We've been apprehended for that. We've been apprehended for usefulness, to for good works, for ministry. We've been apprehended for holiness. We've been apprehended for faithfulness. And by the way, all of that for His pleasure. For His pleasure. Look one more place with me, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul was following after perfection. He had a humble admission. I haven't arrived. I haven't apprehended. I'm not perfect. Paul's hopeful ambition. But I do want to apprehend. Because I have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. And there's a holy apprehension. We've been apprehended for usefulness and for holiness and for faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every what? Unto every good work. Number one, we see that Paul was following after perfection. One thing. If I'm a Christian this morning, one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, does that mean I can't do other stuff? No. Does that mean I can't enjoy other things? I'm always reading my Bible and I'm always praying and I'm always doing... No. But even when I'm enjoying other things, I'm remembering that I'm still His. Even when I go to the football game, I remember I'm still His. Even when I go to the restaurant and enjoy a good meal with my family or church family, I remember I'm still His. I don't act like a fool. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And so, yes, we can. We are to live life. But my life is one thing, and that one thing is Jesus Christ. In everything I do. When I'm mowing the grass, I'm remembering I'm Jesus. I'm His. I belong to Him. And when I'm mowing that grass and a tire goes flat, I remember I'm His. When I'm working and you smash your finger with a hammer, you remember I'm still His. I'm going to be careful what comes out of my mouth, because I have been apprehended for holiness. Let me give you number two. Number one, Paul was following after perfection. He gave us a humble admission, a hopeful ambition, and a holy apprehension. But number two, not only was he following after perfection, but secondly, he was forgetting the past. See, here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to come and whisper in your ear and say, hey, yeah, I know you say you got saved. And yeah, I know you say that Jesus Christ washed away your sins by His blood. And I know you think you're something different now. But hey, do you remember what you did a couple months ago? Do you remember what you did a year ago? That's what the devil does. Look what Paul says in verse number 13 again. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This was the one thing, behind and before. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Here's the truth this morning. God doesn't consult your past to determine your future. Paul, many, many times, he says, and such were some of you. Paul said, you used to be like that, but you're not like that anymore. You used to be a drunkard. You used to be a liar. You used to be a thief. You used to be all of these different things. He said, that's what you used to be. But you're something different now. And when Jesus Christ saves us by His blood and washes away our sins and the Holy Spirit comes into His eye, listen, He doesn't just turn over a new leaf, and He doesn't just repair us, He transforms us. He makes us, the Bible says, a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He doesn't just repair, He doesn't just put a bunch of Bondo on us, does He? No. He makes us a brand new creature. Paul was following after perfection, but he was forgetting the past. Think about Paul's past. Paul had people murdered, but he did it thinking he was doing a good thing. You see, Paul had Christians arrested. Paul, in Acts chapter number 7, is standing holding the garments of the men who stoned Stephen to death. The Bible says in chapter 8 that he was consenting unto his death. Paul had Christians arrested because he thought he was doing a good thing. Because Paul was a Jew. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he says, listen, this Jesus Christ is a charlatan. And these people who believe in Jesus Christ, they're fake and they're false teachers. They're teaching the Jews to go away from the law. They're teaching the Jews to go away from their customs and their rituals. That's not right. And he had people murdered, arrested, thrown into jail. How many times do you think that came up in Paul's mind? How many times do you think the enemy, the adversary, brought that back to his mind? He said, this one thing I do. I forget what's behind. And I'm reaching forward to that which is before. Let me give you two statements. We must not flounder in the guilt and failure of sin, but we must have faith in the grace and forgiveness of the Savior. We must not flounder in the guilt and failure of sin. Pastor, but you don't know what kind of person I was before I got saved. Maybe I don't, but I don't have to. I know what God did for you. And yes, I understand there are things we do that sometimes give us scars that we never get rid of. I understand that. But He apprehended us for a purpose. It doesn't matter who we are. When a person gets saved, he is apprehended for a purpose. And that purpose is usefulness. That purpose is holiness. That purpose is faithfulness. In whatever way and area that we can be faithful, we must not flounder in the guilt and failure of sin. We must have faith in the grace and forgiveness of the Savior. Let me ask us again, can God lie? Titus chapter 1 says He cannot lie. So if the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, is that true? Is it always true? Absolutely. Why? Because it's God's Word. And God never, ever lies. Yeah, but Pastor, there's so many things in my past that keep coming up. That's the devil. That's the devil. And Paul says, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth. It's almost like that runner. That runner that he's close to the tape. He's close to the finish line. He's reaching forth. I'm not forgetting what happened back there. Maybe I stumbled at the starting block. But I can't dwell upon that. I have to reach forth. Maybe I had a stumble during the race. Maybe I hit the hurdle when I went over. But he said, I'm forgetting those things. And I'm reaching forth. Number one, Paul was following after perfection. Number two, Paul was forgetting the past. We must not flounder in the guilt and failure of sin. We must have faith in the grace and forgiveness of the Savior. Now let me say this. That doesn't mean we just keep sinning. Paul says, God forbid. But it means we don't stay there. We reach forth. And so let me give you number three. Number one, Paul was following after perfection, maturity, completeness as a Christian. Paul was forgetting the past. And number three, Paul was fighting for the prize. He was fighting for the prize. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No doubt he has in view, he has the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the finish line with crowns. No doubt he has that in view. But he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was fighting for the prize. It means, that word press, it means to eagerly and earnestly seek. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul speaks of bringing himself into subjection as he was striving for the mastery. The idea there is the idea of an athlete who brings his body into subjection. He eats right, he lives right, he sleeps right, he does everything right so that when he gets to the day of competition, he's ready. And he's striving for the mastery. And he has eaten right, and he's lifted weights, and he has exercised. And he slept right. And he's ready to compete. He says, I bring my body into subjection. And he says here, I press toward the mark. Two things. Our sight should be fixed because our Savior is at the finish. Our sight should be fixed. So many times we let our eyes go turn to the right or to the left, and we get pulled by the world and we get pulled by the flesh instead of keeping our eyes fixed upon the prize, our eyes fixed upon the finish line. And at the finish line is our Savior. By the way, we spoke about Stephen. Stephen, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 7, Stephen was martyred. He was killed. They stoned him to death. And the Bible says that when he got ready to go to heaven, when his spirit got ready to go to heaven, the Bible said that Jesus Christ was waiting for him. And by the way, the Bible doesn't say that he is sitting. As we so often see, the Bible says that after Jesus Christ went into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. But when Stephen goes into heaven, Christ isn't sitting. He's standing. He's standing to welcome. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. That's what I believe. I believe the passage bears it out. He is standing to receive his servant, his faithful servant who gave his very life's blood for his Savior. One thing, Paul was following after perfection. He was forgetting the past. How many of you this morning, you know that you're saved, you know that you've been bought by the blood of Christ, but you keep allowing the devil to bring up past failures? You need to let the Holy Spirit reign in your life today. And you need to let God Almighty once and for all say, hey, I saved you, you're my child. Stop remembering the past. Because I do not consult the past to determine your future. Paul was forgetting the past. And he was fighting for the prize. Our sight should be fixed because our Savior is at the finish. One of the prizes that we ought to be fighting for is simply this. Crowns, yes, the Bible speaks of crowns. We need to do a study on that, don't we? We need to do a study on the crowns. But one of the prizes that we ought to be fighting for, the Bible says, is to hear this. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithfulness means day after day after day after day, week on top of week, month on top of month, year after year after year, just being faithful. Faithful. He's apprehended us for a purpose. It's to be useful. It's to be holy. It's to be faithful. God help us to be so. But Pastor, I'm just not seeing the results that I want to see. You're not responsible for the results. You're responsible to be faithful. God is responsible for the results. You just be faithful. Hey, husband and wife this morning, maybe there might be a husband and wife this morning. You may be going through a rocky patch right now in your marriage. Just stay faithful. Yeah, but it's not everything it ought to be right now. That's fine. But you just stay faithful. And let God work. And let God do in your marriage what He desires to do. Faithful. Faithful. You know who we applaud when we sing happy birthday on Sunday morning? We do birthdays and anniversaries. We don't applaud the one that has been divorced 10 times. We applaud the one who's been married for 55 years. And I don't say that to hurt anybody that's been divorced. I don't do that at all. I say that simply to say, stay faithful. I know circumstances arise. I get that, but stay faithful. Stay faithful to your spouse. Stay faithful to your parents, teenagers. Parents, stay faithful to your kids. Stay faithful, most of all, to your God. One thing. What's your ambition this morning? Paul's ambition was to know Him. Nothing wrong with making money, but if that's your ambition is wrong this morning. Our ambition ought to be Christ. One thing. Father, thank You for the time You've given us today. Father, may we follow after perfection. May we forget the past. May we fight for the prize. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You've done in our hearts this morning. Father, if there are folks who need to move, I pray that they would, and we'll give You the glory for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone, if you're physically able, to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's at the piano this morning. She's going to begin to...